Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. And we actually have the locally grown guy right in studio,
thanks,
Carlos Griego.
Thank you.
Hey, you grew well, my friend.
I did. I ate well, too.
Hey, Carlos, let's get right to it, man. You are not only the show sponsor for us, and we really appreciate that, but you're doing some great business, and you have such an interesting story. That would be good to have our listeners learn a little bit more about you. And off air, you shared with me that you have not always been open about sharing your journey and your past, and I want to know why that has now changed.
Well, one, I talked to you about when I grew up, just me and my brother, and, you kind of get this facade that you think that everybody is expected to come from the perfect family, the perfect house, things like that. So I kind of went with that most of my life. And it wasn't until I got into my late 20s, one day I was feeling sorry for myself and I was driving down the road and I was praying and I was like, you know, God, why did you put me in this situation? And this voice in the back of my head popped and said, because you wouldn't know I was God otherwise. And then I started to think about Jesus was born in a manger and he didn't have it easy. He worked in carpentry. He did all these things. So it kind of just opened my heart a little bit to realize how far God had taken me. And as I started to share my background with people, I realized that it opened more doors than it closed because I was willing to be honest about it. And it really opened the door for people to see how great God is when you just have faith, because that's all I had was faith. And I didn't get to choose the people that God put in my life or took out of my life. But every single one had a purpose, and it's an amazing thing. And that's just kind of what I've always leaned on, and I'll continue to lean on is, and I think that's it's a scary place to be sometimes when you're 100% faithful and just trusting in God and can't see the whole picture, but that's faith in a nutshell.
So you and your brother Joe were on your own. Joe was 16. You were around 13?
Yeah.
And how did you come to be alone and to just be raising yourselves?
Well, we came from to make it simple, a split broken home. And, the long story short was, mom wasn't dating the best of guys. And him and I was about this size when I was 13. And so those guys didn't want to be around me and my brother. Let's put it that way, because if they weren't going to treat her right, then things weren't going to go good for them. And we saw to that. So my mom just kind of up and left us in the house. And she said, well, you guys pay the rent, pay the bills, and here you go. And so him and I stayed there until I was about 17 or 18. And then I was able to actually go lease a different house because I wanted to get out of that house. And I went and I leased a different house for a while and just kept moving forward, you know, and just kept going to church and kept praying. And just like I said, it's amazing how God works, because he would put the right person in your life at the right time. And I would be talking about, like, I'm struggling with XYZ thing. And then a person that I just met randomly would come and we'd be talking, and then they would tell me everything I needed to know about my struggle. And I just thought it was the weirdest thing. And I was like, you just can't make this stuff up. Like, it's unbelievable how it works that way. And, we were blessed the whole time. We never went hungry. We never felt sorry for ourselves. And we did. We have a huge family, my brother and I here in Albuquerque. And we just didn't want to be a burden on any of them. And so I had an opportunity to move with an aunt of mine who I'm really close with right now. She's in Washington, but I was going to have to move to, Las Vegas, Nevada. And, I wasn't willing to leave my brother by himself. And so him and I just didn't want to be a burden on anybody, but we also didn't want to be a burden on each other. So we worked in restaurants. We did anything we could do. I worked at a car wash for a little bit. My family owned a moving company, so I worked for that moving company for a long time, moving furniture and houses and offices. And that's where I got a lot of my mentorship that really taught me, one, kind of how to manage people a little bit, but two, how to manage myself in a way. And, it was good and it was hard work. So it really taught us what hard work was, because doing that kind of work is very similar to the work we do now. It's the job's done when the job is done. You work till the work is done. And, it was a good thing for us. And my brothers always just kind of went with me everywhere. So we worked in the restaurant, then we worked in moving. Then I got into construction, and he took a while. He stayed with moving for a long time. And then 5 years later, he got into plumbing with me. And then he's been doing plumbing ever since.
And how's Joe doing now?
He's great.
Is he working with your company with you?
He's working with us now. He's one of our journeymen. He's got two kids, and they're just great, great kids. And he's doing really well for himself.
Yeah, that's exciting. What a story. I mean, you had to finish school. You had to work. You had to clean the house, make your own meals. And you were really, really young.
And Joe was I would say he was the driver for school and the house cleaning stuff. I wasn't that guy. I was the dreamer. You know, I had big plans and a lot of faith. So he was the one that got me out of bed, made sure that I'd get up, because I would sleep through a train wreck when I was younger. You could not wake me up. And so he would wake me up, make sure I got off to school, things like that. But he actually graduated with an academic scholarship. He graduated with a 4.0. He lettered in academics, and he was actually nominated at Manzano High School, the Renaissance Man, twice in the same year so he did really well in school. I could have did better. I could say that, but you know, I'm the class clown.
You know, I'm really thankful about my children. I have five, and my children, I was one of those kind of students that if you gave me an assignment that was due Friday, I'd wait till Thursday night at midnight before I started working on it, stay up all night, turn it in on time, and I got decent grades, but I was worried about it all week because I hadn't done it, and then I was exhausted the day it happened. But here's the funny thing, and I have to credit the wife of my children for this. They would get an assignment, and they would get it done the day it was assigned, and then they would just enjoy their week and turn it in when it was supposed to be. And that's it's so much more simple.
Well, that's a concept.
it's a concept that I never, ever adhered to. I can tell you that. That's for sure.
Hey, I think I'm guilty of the same thing on numerous occasions.
Yeah. Want to ask you a little bit about people that have spoken into your life. You just mentioned that there came along some people at key times. Who are some of those people?
So I had my uncle who ran a moving company. Prior to that, he owned two car lots. And, I think I talked about this. I gave my life to God when I was 13 because I just, you know, I didn't know any other way. And, he just came out of nowhere and he started coming to my house, and he was relentless about it. I don't know if God just had it on his heart or what, but he would literally come to my house and go into my room and wake me up and be like, "What are you going to do? Are you going to sleep all day?" And I'm like, "No, it's like 7:30, man." He's like, "Get up, let's go do something." And I'm like, "Okay." So I would go with him, and he would just, he'd take me to breakfast and we'd hang out and we would just talk. And I don't know what happened. One day he said, "You know, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I just want you to listen to me and do exactly what I tell you to do." He's like, "I know you don't got a lot of people in your life." He's like, "But I'm going to help you with some things on how to carry yourself and how to be a little bit more confident in the way you are." Cause I was naturally introverted. So I wouldn't talk to people. Typically, if you met me, I wouldn't talk to you. I would just be extremely quiet, and I'd say hello and that'd be the end of it. But he really took me outside of my comfort zone. And then I had throughout life, I had other bosses or friends, or when I'd go to interviews at jobs after that, I would always try to find people that were inspirational, you know, to kind of work around. And you know where I worked before. So,
yes.
So I met one of the owners there, and I was like, "This guy he's awesome. He's an awesome guy." And the cool thing that I had learned by then is you could learn from people, because I didn't realize more is caught than taught.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I realized I could catch on if I pay attention. And so I worked at that company for a long time and got to spend a lot of time with those people. And there's numerous people there. And there were some that I enjoyed quite a bit. There were some that I think cared about me more than I think, that I didn't enjoy so much because they were hard on me because they wanted to push me to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until maybe the past 5 years that I realized that their intent was good, even though the days were bad. And I learned a ton from them. And I'd name all of them, but I don't know that I should or could. And I know those people, and they're not the kind of people that would do that for recognition.
Right.
You know, they don't want to be recognized for that. They want to do what they're there to do, and they want to move on. And I think we should all have that approach, is I'm not here to be recognized for this. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do.
But I'm going
to
say something to you that I think is important. If you haven't told those individuals how important they were in your life, that will lift them up if you share that.
We have had that conversation many a times, and I would tell you I'm kind of an emotional guy, so there was some tears for sure, and, you know, I still consider them really good friends, even though we don't talk much. But then again, I don't know if you're like this. I know lots of people that are this way, but I have lots of friends that we may not talk for 6 months, we may not talk for 2 weeks, and we'll pick up right where we left off. It's nothing between us, it's just we're off in the race, you know, and then we catch up and we get to see each other, and we don't get to spend as much time as we'd like. And that's just how it goes, you know.
One of the things that you just mentioned about having some people that maybe spoke some tough words into your life because they cared about you and they wanted to push you, your dad.
Yeah.
And guess what? That will be valuable for.
For raising kids. Well, I have my 22-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is my second marriage. But prior to this, I have a stepson that's like 25 and another one that's 27 now. And, I totally understood the concept, but it's weird that you can do the things, but you don't understand why you're doing them. So when they're happening to you, sometimes you don't, for me anyway, I didn't get it, even though I understood it from my end. When someone else was pushing me, or maybe I just didn't like it. I don't know. I mean, it could be either or, but you don't really process that, you know? So my son, when people meet him, they're like, what did you do? This kid is so great. And I'm like, I was just blessed. Like, I was just blessed. He's a good kid. He went to school. He did what I asked, and he was just a good kid all the time. So luckily I was blessed because I had him when I was a freshman in high school.
Mm.
So I was blessed to have such a good kid, because that poor kid, and this taught me a lot, because he used to go to daycare from 6:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night when he was with me. And so he'd have to get up at, you know, 5 a.m. And I told him one time, I said, if you're not ready, I'm going to leave you here, because, you know, it was my threat.
Mm.
And I tell you what, every morning I get downstairs at 5:30, he'd be dressed, sitting on the couch, ready to go. And, but he was just a great, and he's still a great kid. He's great. He lives near me and my wife, and we spend a lot of time together, and he's a man now. He's not a kid. He's married, and he's got his own family and everything. And it's awesome. And then I'm blessed to have these two little girls that are just gorgeous and driving me wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've spread them out, that's for sure.
Yeah. Everybody thought I was crazy to have kids again, because I was pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I really wanted to, and I love kids.
Yeah.
You know, I just love them. If I could have 10, I'd have 10. But unfortunately, my wife, she has some things that we couldn't have anymore.
Mm.
So we're stuck.
Carlos Griego, the owner of Bosque Heating and Cooling, in studio with me this afternoon. Just getting to know him a little bit, and obviously you're going to find out how a lot of the things in his life of faith is now directing his business. So stay with us. We'll be back.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
When Christ's earthly ministry was over, he gathered his disciples together and he commissioned them. And by extension, every generation was commissioned with the same thing. We're to be serious about propagating the gospel. The central verb in that passage, it's straightforward. It's noticeably uncomplicated. It's just simply to make disciples. Now, the three words that surround it remind us of the phases of that. We're to be baptizing them, which means we've got to reach them with the gospel. We've got to then teach them to observe everything that Christ commanded. And then we've got to get out there and do what the disciples did. They went out to make these disciples. So Christ gave us a clear directive, a promise to be with us until the work is done. So let's get out there today and start working to get that job done.
Get more hard-hitting, straight-up Bible teaching when you listen to Focal Point's half-hour program. Consider Pastor Mike Fabares as your personal Bible coach. He'll take you through the paces right here on this station. And listen anytime at focalpointradio.org.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Tired of being quarantined? Have the pandemic blues got you down? Having a food choice crisis? Let's talk about a solution. In queso emergency, head straight for Casa Taco, winner of Albuquerque the Magazine Best of the City 3 years running. Come try the signature brisket and green chili tacos, carne asada tacos, and the amazing puffy tacos, plus much more. Convenient online ordering at casa-taco.com. Two locations in Albuquerque and one in Elephant Butte. Casa Taco.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I am hoping today that people that are listening to the station are not evaluating their lives as Christians in what I would call an unrealistic fashion or a judgmental fashion. And Carlos Griego is in studio with us. He is the owner of Bosque Heating and Cooling. They are a show sponsor, having a very successful business, but Carlos was willing to come on the show today and share with you some things that were, in his mind, shortcomings. But now God is illustrating his strength in Carlos's weaknesses. And we were just talking off air during that little break, Carlos. You know, I felt until recently that I was a total complete failure for having gotten divorced. And it's taken me, you know, a good 7-8 years to figure out that God's got more good stuff for me to do, and I'm not,
amen,
you know, maybe even get married someday. I don't know. That's not a plan right now, but it's
if
something.
If you start having kids, call me because I want to hear about
this. There's not going to be any more kids. I already have 5 of those. And here's something interesting. You've got older children, so do I. My youngest is 20, and they go all the way up to 27. You can't practice having or raising kids is what I should say.
No.
So for example, my first son was completely quiet, never cried, just an absolute gentleman, really smart, did great in school, highly motivated, you know, all of that. My second child, my daughter, she never let me come near her for 2 years. She would scream at me, "No, daddy, stay away from me." You know, she was
right.
Just, you know, she loved her mom, and now after that, you know, after she was about 2, then we got along great and everything's been great ever since. But, and then I could go down the list, you know, but all 5 of them had unique personalities and were totally different. But I'm intrigued, Carlos, about you. I mean, obviously marriage is different now after you had the first one that was not successful.
Right. Right. It's, you learn a lot. I learned a lot in my first marriage. And, you know, it's one, raising the kids, dealing with, you know, all the controversy we had at the time I just learned a lot out of it. And now in the second marriage, I could tell you that I'm about 100 times more patient than I was in the first one. And I realized that you got to really love someone for who they are, not what you want them to be. And I think that was the big thing. And I learned that in the first marriage, going to the second marriage.
How has God used her in your life?
The pastor, the ex.
No,
the present. Oh, amazing. My wife is just a blessing in my life. And to be honest, like, I married into her family. And as we talked, you know, I didn't have a lot of family. Well, now I have 2 dads on that side of the family and 2 moms because her parents got divorced and both got remarried, and they're all amazing. And so, one of my father-in-law, he's a retired Air Force, you know, guy. and him and my wife work together on base at Afotech. Mm-hmm. And so they do really well there. I live across from my other father-in-law. I live across the street from him. And him and I, Vince and I, we do, he's a plant manager for Reliance Steel. And I tell you, I see him 3 times a week. It's never a bad time. Him and I go hunting together. We go fishing together. We take, of course, his granddaughters fishing. We'll take them hunting when they get older because we just believe my wife goes hunting with us as well. Mm. I think one of the times I was on, we had just come back from a really long hunting trip. And it's just been her family has been a blessing, and the way they've taken me in has been a blessing.
Is life easier now and just totally perfect, no difficulties as a dad or a business owner since you're a Christian?
No, not by any means. Not by any. I don't think life ever gets easier. I think that we get better. I mean, that's why I think they call them tough times, because they make it tough and they condition you. But I just think you just get better, but then new challenges come. And I think God brings those challenges in your life so that you learn. So if you go through every situation with the thought process, like, what does God want me to get out of this? I'm not in the storm for no reason. You got to have that mentality all the time, or you'll lose your heart. You'll lose your drive. You'll give up. And I think the thing that's always gotten me through everything is I always had that thought in my head, like, what is God trying to tell me right now? And knowing that there's a good purpose for this, and even though I don't see it, and even though everything is going bad right now and it's not going my direction, and even though I may be getting divorced and my parents just passed away and I lost all my money and I lost my house and I went completely broke, and what am I learning from this today? And that's the thing that gets me out of bed.
And by the way, that's a list that you've experienced.
Yeah, all those things have happened to me. I've been broke twice in my life. I lost both my parents, even though I grew up without them. You know, there's something weird there that you could never break the connection between a kid and their parents. No matter what, could be the worst parents in the world, that kid is always going to love their parents to some degree. And sometimes that love is reflected as hate, but there's always a connection there. And so I lost both of them within 6 months. And that was rough. And then I was going broke. This was in 2008. The economy crashed. Mm-hmm. I had just bought a house that, guess what, wasn't worth what I paid for it. Mm-hmm. And it was rough. And then I was going through a divorce all at the same time. And it's, you know, then I wasn't walking as close to God as I probably should have been at that time. But, you know, it's one of those things where I tell you, my favorite Bible character is David. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you see David and you see him drift away from his walk, and then you see him come back. But I think everybody does that a little bit.
Well, I'm going to hopefully encourage our listeners. Let's not murder or do anything like David did. I mean, the guy,
right?
The guy did a little more than drifting. I mean, he was, you know,
very true.
But he's always referred to as a man after God's own heart. And the illustration, obviously, of David's life is that he was a sinner, just like all of us. And that's what I like. You know, I've had some people tell me, oh, you Christians think you're better than everybody else. And I look at them and I go, what are you talking about? We know we're not better than anybody else. We know we're inferior. In fact, what I think God has called me to do is serve you.
Right. That's exactly it. And we've just confessed.
Yeah.
And we realized, okay, I'm not a good person and I haven't done the right thing all the time. Are there people out there that are 100% good if they portray that? But I believe everybody's made a mistake.
Yeah.
And we all make mistakes, and we just got to recenter sometimes and reground ourselves.
Well, you actually already kind of said this scripture in your description of what you thought God, why you think God allows trials in our lives, but I'm going to read it anyway. It's James 1 verses 2 to 4. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
That's right.
Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And Carlos, that's what you bring to us, is you've got a successful business now. Your family's doing well. You've got a marriage that I'm going to call it dynamic. It's still Tough to be married, isn't it?
No, yeah, it's never easy, but I'll tell you, one of my mentors we're talking about, I used to go have dinner with him and his wife. This was before I got married, and I'd never been to somebody's house for dinner like that. Not, I've been to family's house, so I knew how my family was crazy, and I thought it was just my family. And of course, this was me growing up and maturing a little bit. And I went to his house and I saw how him and his wife interacted with each other, and I just loved it. I was like, I saw them kind of arguing and having these little, you know, pushback conversations here and there at the dinner table. And I just didn't, and I didn't realize he was such a wise guy, you know, and, it really kind of showed me that that stuff's normal, and they didn't wear it on their sleeve. They didn't hold the grudge. It was just kind of like, okay, we got over it. Let's move on. But those were some of my favorite times, was having dinner with him and his wife, because I really got introduced to see like all families, all people. Like, this guy is extremely successful. He's a really good person because I've seen it. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't do anything. He's kind of like this almost perfect individual, if you will, as far as the way he carries himself. But to see him interact with his family and see that, you know, how he acts with his kids and that, and just like we talked about kids, like, he has kids and no two kids are the same. Mm-hmm. Nobody could train you for them. What works for one kid is not going to work for the other kid. And it's really challenging because you're focused on trying to get them to the end of the game, you know, and to teach them and to get them down the road, is that's the challenge.
Well, I've got two more questions and we don't have much time left. One is, you've stayed in fellowship.
Yeah.
You've gone to church through all of this.
Yeah.
And that's been really important, hasn't it?
It's extremely important. And when I hadn't gone to church, I mean, I listened here on KNKT. You know, I'd listen to Skip, you know, on Tuesdays, things like that. I would find ways to get fed, you know.
How is your faith directing Bosque Heating and Cooling?
That's a good question. So I would say that it directs it a ton. Everything that we have at Bosque, from our core values to our purpose to our vision, all those things really are biblical things that I kind of grew up learning. And the hard part is, because I don't want this to sound the wrong way, we're not a Christian company. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to be a Christian to come work at Bosque. But you're going to have to walk by these set of rules, which are good rules. But we're Christians that have a company, and we've attracted a lot of Christian people to work there, which is really good. And we've just been extremely successful with that. And there are people that, like I say, they come out of nowhere. Bosque itself came out of nowhere. The people that came to work there, I mean, they just showed up. And like I said, I feel like God kind of drug me into the deeper water when I went to start Bosque, because it was not comfortable. It was not easy. It wasn't an easy plan. I didn't get to see everything, but I went to work, and we stayed busy, and we're blessed to be able to have these people busy and keep them busy, and then just to be able to teach them some basic principles that I use every single day.
You know, it's interesting what you say about your business. It's kind of hard to have a Christian plumbing company you are a plumbing company and
right.
a heating and cooling company with a bunch of great Christians that work there and some people that are not that do a great job.
That's right.
And so I really appreciate you having said that. Bosque Heating and Cooling, they do a lot of stuff. They're plumbing, roofing, restoration. For service, you can call 444-7200. And Carlos Griego, thanks so much for joining us today on ABQ
Hey,
Connect.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, and stay with us. We're going to have Britton Pruitt with the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home coming up next. Stay with us.